You're listening to the Great Day in Sales podcast, brought to you by Alessio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great Day in Sales podcast. Really excited for our guest today, Ryan Milligan, VP of Sales over at QuotaPath. We've had a wonderful conversation, been talking for a bit now, and just like I've said on other podcasts, we just need to hit record because the conversation starts to get interesting enough that, hey, we need to just, have this on audio. So really excited to meet you, Ryan, and excited to introduce you to the audience as well. Now, would love for you to walk us through real quick your background. Not your typical, like, you know, you filled every possible sales role into, you've actually got a bit of an operations background, done a few different roles in your career, and now leading sales over at QuotaPath. So would love to kind of hear your background and your angle on it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Justin. Really excited to be here. Certainly my journey to sales leadership has been an interesting one. Give kind of the Cliff Notes version. Background for me, I started my career at Wayfair.com in a data analytics, data science role, and moved from there into marketing and then marketing operations. I was in marketing operations and then revenue operations, which is, I figured, what I really liked. Analytics into marketing, I wanted to be more on the operational side and deploying spend and running a retargeting program. And then from there, realized I liked the back-end operations of marketing and then revenue teams more broadly. And so served in a RevOps role at Homebase, previous company, and then at QuotaPath. So I was initially hired at QuotaPath to lead our revenue operations team. Did that for a couple years. And in my time here, saw an opportunity to really take the skill set of the persona we're selling to as a revenue operations leader and bring that knowledge and acumen into our sales department. And so took over the sales team in Q4, had a great quarter. Team performed really well. We hit 100% quota across the team, which was super exciting. Thank you. It was fun. My background is really analytical and operational based. So love analyzing data, writing SQL, pulling data together, and building the systems together to make it really easy for someone to sell our product and use our product. Revenue operations, you know, QuotaPath, we do commission tracking, calculating and paying commissions. And so I'm the primary admin of the product. So it was a natural fit for somebody who knows it very well to lead the team who is selling it. So it's been a fun journey for sure.
Yeah. Is that really, it's interesting you mentioned just based on who the ICP is over at QuotaPath, you were in that RevOps role. You obviously really understand how they think, how they're structuring those comp plans. And it kind of led to a sales leadership role for you. Is like, would you recommend other RevOps type career type people to say, hey, there is an opportunity for you in sales leadership? Or was it so much just an ideal product for you to make that switch? What would be your recommendation there?
Yeah, you're seeing more and more ops leaders move into CRO positions and sales leadership positions. Zachary over Tricerat just made that move, who I've talked to a bit about it. And I think where the value is you have somebody who, I mean, there's development opportunities and then really kind of great things. I think what the great things are is you have somebody who has not historically gotten too tied up in a deal by deal basis. You know, sales is so much of an art and a science, who can take more of that scientific approach and say, hey, what are the probabilities these deals are going to close? What type of pipeline hygiene do we need? What are the things that are causing us to lose deals? And then how do we build a path forward? So you have that kind of analytical methodology in terms of assessing how the business is doing, how the team is doing, and then deploying change pretty rapidly. So it's a lot of my skill set there, you know, carries over well and has carried over well so far. But also quite humbled by the fact that I have not been an individual seller. So I'm learning a ton, right? Especially on the art side, especially on the art of contract negotiation and structuring value and selling value to our ideal customer. So I think it's a great opportunity and something that I think we're going to see more and more of. And I think that it's a really great learning opportunity for me personally, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I bet there's a, I bet there's a small, well, maybe not small, but a really cool niche group you could find, whether on LinkedIn or wherever, of those RevOps type people, a little more in operations, going into those sales leadership roles, find some support there. Because I'm sure that's becoming more and more of a trend. Typically, you'd see, you know, the SDR AE and then leadership and then player coach and then leadership and then that sales leadership role. But it's cool the path that you've taken. And I think it is a perfect fit for the product. Given your background with QuotaPath and, you know, you mentioning you hit quota, you're now adding to your team, helping your team, you know, hit quota, but also just how you structure the comp plans. You have this wealth of knowledge, both from, you know, selling a product like you are, but then also just how do you motivate with the right comp plan? And I want to get into our conversation we were having before we started the podcast of just what are the company's objectives? Is it move? Is it go up market? Is it adjust your ASP, increase that? How can you kind of structure those plans to really match the company's goals? What's your best way to kind of summarize your efforts there?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest mistakes people make in comp planning is they have a separate financial plan board conversation process and then a completely different comp plan design implementation process, when for me, it's just one funnel, right? So the first thing you're going to do when you're thinking about 2024 is say, hey, what are the business objectives for the org? And what are the big major initiatives that we're trying to drive? So as an example, hey, I really want to get more of my revenue into longer year contracts. We're in a tough renewal cycle. Gross revenue retention is really top of mind. I really want to get more of my revenue shifted into these 2, 3, 4 year relationships. So I can build more value with the customer over time and, you know, have the ability to kind of ride the wave of that market. And then maybe the second thing is, to your point, hey, we need to enter the upper mid market to enterprise deals, for example. You know, I was talking to a customer about this. And so they need to bring up their ASP pretty dramatically. So their two things are, hey, I need longer term contracts and I need larger deals to grow my ASP. So then the natural next question is, how do you take those two kind of North Star metrics of your business, right? The two things that you're going to look at every Monday morning as a leadership team, you're going to look at constantly, every team member is going to know, and trickle those down into your comp plan design. So, you know, potentially for a business development rep, you're going to say, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, $50 for every demo you get set, but another $50 if that demo is ICP, because an ICP demo tends to sign longer term contracts, or another $50 for a demo that's over 30K potential contract value, because that's like a larger deal you bring in the funnel. Then you move to your new business team and you say, okay, here's your base commission rate, but you get kickers if you sell multi-year deal or a 3-year, 4-year deals. You get an extra 2%, 3%, or you get extra percentage points if the deal size is above 20, 30, 40K. And then going into your account management customer success team, they're getting those same incentives for committing renewals to longer term contracts and renewing larger customers. So what you've done is you've taken this North Star metric of your business and fanned it out to every single member of your organization to say, hey, this North Star metric is now applicable to all the comp plans, so that when one team wins, the company is winning. And that's like the biggest challenge that I have, where if I ask someone about a comp plan, it's like, what is your success do for the business? And when there's a misalignment there, it becomes really challenging to rally people around a comp plan.
Yeah. I love what jumped out at me right away was that executive meeting not matching kind of whether it's the team meeting or just the individual comp plans, the marketing budget, what are the expectations for each team there? Because yeah, you could have, I mean, you can apply it to marketing where, hey, we need to build this amount of demand to hit this goal. And then their goals are like, well, we're going to do 4 white papers in this quarter. And like, that doesn't match. Same thing with sales where, hey, we want to increase this, this, and this. But then everyone just has like a blank quota of revenue that they need to generate for the business that doesn't really match those other goals of the business. So I love that there's ways to structure those plans. Is that, do you feel like it's not happening enough with sales teams just because, and not to plug QuotaPath or anything blatantly here, but do you feel like it's just a lack of tools and the ability to do so? Or is it too obtuse for leaders to think too deep into those specific things? Or why isn't it happening more out there, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, there's a natural overlap with QuotaPath and the visibility thing that I do have to bring up, which is like, I think one of the big challenges is that individual team members don't see on a day-to-day basis what types of deals are going to earn them the most money. And they don't then see which deals they should focus their energy on because they're maintaining their own Excel spreadsheet and, you know, to calculate their commissions in the back end without using a tool, tool agnostic. There's like the value of a commission tracking tool is giving your reps that visibility into what are great deals for them and where they should go focus their energy, what's going to make them the most money. But this disconnect is actually, you know, that you and I are talking about is in plan design, where you have a plan that is, you know, maybe it's a legacy plan, or maybe it's, you know, it's, we don't want to make too many big changes or rock the boat, or we don't really know, no one teaches you how to build a comp plan, right? So that's the other piece, is like what we try to do in the market is educate people on great comp plans. And so I do a bunch of comp plan consultations and I talk to people about, hey, what is the metric you're trying to drive for your business? And then how does that reflect in your comp plan? And candidly, Justin, I don't think a lot of people are having that conversation. They're just saying, hey, this is the comp plan that I've used in the last four companies I've been at. You know, it worked fine. Let me bring it over to company five and lay it out and run it. Because they don't want to rock the boat too much. And they don't necessarily know how to make that tie because there's no comp plan 101 class.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you coming back from this operations background, you're building comp plans, you know, but so many people crush that SDR role, crush the A role. Maybe they're going to President's Club and that's the validation for them to take that next leadership step. And if it's creating the actual comp plans, that muscle hasn't really been built quite yet for them, you know? So it's interesting. You offer consultations, you do a number of things to kind of help support that, but that's something that they're going to have to go. I mean, where do you go for that information, right? You go watch YouTube, you go follow some people on LinkedIn, obviously work with, you know, a product like that, but that totally makes sense. And we run into that a lot. We talk to people who are like, that first sales leadership role is just, it's a slog. It's a real challenge for people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting in comp plan design that I think a lot about and talk a lot about is that sales, finance, RevOps leadership relationship. And really what you're trying to do is have three different people work together to build a comp plan and understand the motivations for why different people are coming to the table with what they're thinking about. You know, the kind of trite expression is that sales wants to pay their reps as much. The sales leader wants to pay their reps as much money as possible. The finance leader wants to pay their reps as little money as possible. And then the RevOps person is kind of in the middle. I don't believe that to be true. That's kind of an old, tired expression, but you do have to understand why people are making the decisions they're making and what is really top of mind for them. And for a finance leader, they're happy, right, to pay a rep more money on a type of deal that they think is valuable for the business, that they think is driving some fundamental change, right? So if a rep comes to me and signs, you know, a 3-year full price, self-guided, onboarded, self-outreach, like perfect deal, everybody in the org wants to pay them a lot of money. They just want to make sure from a finance perspective, you're aligning paying more commissions with something that the rep did that was great. Right. And that's where I think the disconnect ends up happening a lot. And that's where that adversarial kind of sales finance relationship sparks from, candidly.
Yeah. Yeah. What you mentioned, like the different details of a deal, an ideal deal, and how you can potentially benefit, draw more benefits, obviously for the business, and then compensate that salesperson more. And you mentioned one that was like a personal outreach, like was their own outbound thing. Is that something that you've seen? Because I, you know, being in marketing roles, like it's hard for me that salesperson sometimes is compensated the same amount for a deal that they go and find on their own as one that was basically bought and paid for with marketing dollars. Is that something that you are able to also structure when you do those comp plans that like a MQL versus an SQL kind of has different value?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you have full funnel AEs, let's say you have a team that's full funnel AEs versus having a BDR org, right? You absolutely want your AEs to be doing outbound and driving deals on their own. And you're thrilled to pay them more money. You know, we released a compensation trends report last year that talks about like some of the most consistent things that we're seeing in comp plan design. You know, the ones we talked about earlier in terms of, you know, accelerators for higher priced deals, and multi-year is super a hot topic right now. But the other one is source and, you know, that SQL MQL split and paying higher commission rates to somebody who's going and, you know, quote unquote hunting versus farming a deal that, that marketing brings in. Something I care deeply about as a sales leader, right? So yeah, absolutely. And then what's interesting is, you know, we've kind of been talking about comp within the sales and account management side of the house, but you know, everybody at QuotaPath is on a variable comp plan. And so marketing is like a very great example of a place that I love comp plans for. And I love comp plans in marketing for pipeline generation, quality of pipeline generation. So like an ICP percentage of pipeline generated. And then I love tying that to closed won ARR. It's a volume and quality mixed play where you can have the whole org. And it's a very big rallying cry, right? If the sales team's trying to drive a number and the marketing team's variably compensated on that same closed won number, you kind of break down that classic fence of marketing throwing leads over the fence and, you know, the lack of a feedback loop.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's funny to me because I very much try to, you know, just things I put out there on LinkedIn is just so much more sales and marketing. It's always been like, oh, the sales VP and the marketing VP, they are not friends. They're against each other. And that's how you get the most output is when they're kind of butting heads. And I love that this approach of like the right comp plan should give visibility to every commissioned employee on what they can be doing to make the most money. But then also you brought in, hey, I love structuring things for that marketing team too, to show kind of how much their input results the output. So I love thinking how you can get those two teams motivated for the most output. What does it look like when you focus in on those specific company objectives? Because I think, you know, any executives or leadership roles listening in on this are like, great. Okay. Now I want to do a comp plan around X, Y, and Z. What are those things? What are those identifiers that you connect to? Let's say, you know, you want to bring up ASP. Is it just triggers in the software that does that? How do you kind of roll that out to your team to say, hey, of course we want you to close the four-figure deals too, that adds to our revenue, but we're going to benefit you more on these bigger, like how do you roll something like that out so they're still doing the smaller deals, but there's like a better focus on those larger deals?
So to me, it's really accelerators on top of a core comp plan, right? So, and the thing that we talk about all the time, Graham Collins, our chief of staff, talks about a lot too, is a comp plan shouldn't have more components than pizza toppings, right? You want like two or three things that you want reps to focus on. You know, four topping pizza, seems good, but in practice is a little bit too much.
You're going to start a debate with that comment. You're going to start a debate there with that comment.
So you have a base comp plan, right? And I think your base comp plan is, especially on a new business side of the house, is going to be a series of commission rates that you're paying, you know, up to a certain point of attainment, you know, and people have different requirements here, but, you know, 0 to 50% attainment, you pay one rate, 51 to 100%, you pay another rate, and then you accelerate rates above that, right? So that's kind of like your base. Reps know, and you want your reps to know that pretty cleanly, right? So I make a 10% commission rate on like a standard 1 year deal, let's say. What is great about the way that QuotaPath has kind of structured this and where this becomes helpful is then you build basically these spiffs or these accelerated kind of paths. So a rep can see, okay, hey, if I close this deal, I'm going to earn this 10% base commission rate, but this deal is also a 3 year deal. And it also has an ASP it's a 30K plus deal. So I'm going to earn my 10% commission rate, but then I'm also going to earn an additional 2% for this. And I'm going to earn an additional 3% for this. Like these are check boxes basically. So then the rep all of a sudden sees, you know, in QuotaPath, whatever tool they use, hey, I on a base deal would make 10%, but this deal I could make 15% on. And so that allows them to actually forecast, hey, how much money would I make if I close this deal? And even more importantly, how much money would I make if I could get this deal to be a multi-year deal? How much extra money would I make? And so the team is very financially motivated naturally being in the role. And so you give them that access to say, here's your base comp plan. And then my recommendation is always pick two things. What are two things that you want your team to simultaneously focus on that they can control very clearly? They have to have pretty full autonomy over that thing, whether that's, you know, lack of discounting or discount thresholds or ASP or multi-year or ICP or whatever you want to do. You pick those two things and you layer them on as rate adders to your core rate.
I love that. I think the pizza, obviously starting a debate, but just kind of simplifying it. You got the main ingredient, the cheese and the sauce. And then what are those little accelerators you can add to it that have to, that really match the deal really well. I like that. What, you know, Ryan, as far as our sales leaders that can, you know, wrap up this podcast, wrap up their commute and maybe go and do kind of take inventory of their comp plans. What are like some, maybe the best way you could position this of like, what are the red flags to go look for and uncover? So to make it better, or what's just like one thing they can go do tomorrow to just level up their comp plan pretty quick, that low hanging fruit type of item they could do.
So the first one is just go talk to your reps and have them tell you what type of deal makes them the most money. That is like the most shocking conversation a VP of sales is going to have with a rep on her team is what type of deal is really your target deal. And I've talked to so many VPs of sales who've done that with their team and their team has no idea. You know, their comp plans are so confusing. They have all these products and these products at different rates and cliffs and floors. And I mean, the rep has no idea. So the first thing you want to do is go talk to your team and say, hey, this is what this, you know, understand what the top deal should look like or what like drives that, you know, great deal for you. And then the second thing you're going to want to do as you're designing 24 comp plans or rolling them out or making some tweaks, hopefully, at this point, is identify those like two things. Go back to your board deck, go back to the financial plan you presented to your board. Look at the drivers of change that have to happen between last year's performance and this year's performance and figure out a way to tie that change that has to happen with your business to an individual comp plan. The more that happens, the easier it becomes for you to drive that change in your business. You know, anecdotally, we were talking to a customer who had a GRR, you know, gross revenue retention problem, had a churn problem. And they, when they started working with us, 30% of their revenue was in monthly contracts. The other 68% was in single year contracts. Then the other 2% was in multi-year contracts. And we've been working with them for a couple of years. And they said, hey, we have to drive more longer term commitment from our customers to deliver more value in that contract period and then up our renewal rates. And so with QuotaPath, they built out these comp plans where their BDRs, their AEs, and their AMs were all incentivized on driving longer-term relationships. And they grew that multi-year percentage from 2% to 30% of the revenue in 3 years. So they were like, AEs got more money for selling longer-term contracts, AMs got more money for renewing longer-term contracts, and even BDRs drove ICP demos that were more likely to be in longer-term contracts. And so you pull that all together, who knew? Incentivizing everybody towards this one goal is going to be beneficial for your business. So the two things I would say is talk to your reps. Not enough sales leaders are talking to their reps transparently about their comp plans, getting their feedback, and then an understanding. And then two, what are those two things that really are A-plus work from your reps that you want to drive more adoption of?
Yeah, I love the talking to the reps thing. And maybe timing, obviously, you want to be careful of that, not the week after you roll out the plan, or just figuring out the best time to get that information, but hopefully before you roll out the plan. But I love that because, yeah, eye-opening when if you get some real honesty there, they trust their sales leader, they're going to say, yeah, actually, I feel like we're not being compensated or motivated the right way. Great. That's incredible feedback. Well, great. Ryan, this conversation has been fantastic. We always ask a question. I can't let you go. We can't wrap things up until you answer the question, what does a great day in sales look like? And you can take your angle at it. I've loved the conversation around motivating with a comp plan and the different ways you can structure that. But when you think about your team and now you're in this sales leadership role, what does a great day in sales look like to you?
Yeah, I think there's a couple big components of it. I mean, I think the first, when I think about, hey, I've ended a day, was this a great day? I think one of them really for me is sparring alongside with my reps on their path to get to quota. And hey, this deal drops out and this deal comes through and how do I forecast my path to actually hit quota and like laying out those different plans. So, you know, Beth software, I think could come in, but if they don't, here's my backup plans and like building that path together collaboratively you know, it's not solely a quota path thing. It's like a, it's a them thinking about the different outcomes. And I love those types of conversations with my team. And then I think the other really big thing from a great day in sales perspective is having a team member come to me or working with a team member on, you know, a contract or a conversation with a potential customer that both delivers value to that customer, but also delivers value to quota path in a long-term capacity. So that's, hey, you know, these are some of the trade-offs we can make in order to have this be a fit or a win for both of us. We want you to be, you know, in this longer-term engagement. Here's why. Here's the value we can present. And so having teams like structure their thinking in that way and working alongside them with that is amazing. And then finally, I have to say that, you know, some sort of analysis on how the business is doing, uncovering nuggets on, hey, this CRM is driving a great lift in win rate, or we've done a really good job on this stage migration. And here's seeing the fruits of work that we've deployed to impact a certain metric has been really fruitful so far and super, super fun. So I love carving off some time to do that.
Yeah, no, I love that. And yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, you had some additional things to add, but great day in sales is when the buyer and seller win, right? It's good value for both parties. And I think that is a great way to just kind of boil it down to the truth of why sales teams exist, right? It's like, no, we're trying to bring value to the company that we're selling to. And ideally it's a good exchange of that value, you know? So
you know, the way that I've always thought about sales, and you know, I've bought a lot of software as a RevOps leader, right? And so the thing that I think a lot about is the reps I've really liked working with, and what I think about from a sales perspective is they want to, they're saying, hey, this is a problem that you have. Here's the product. Here's how I think you can solve the problem. If you don't think it's a fit, like, I'm not going to force you in any way to try to make this a fit in your process. I'm here to solve a problem for you, and you're paying for a service to solve that problem. Like that to me is just such a beneficial, fruitful style of relationship that I have seen more and more of in selling recently. And as I've bought a lot of software in the past, you know, I'm hoping to bring it more forward as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Yep. No, don't waste time on deals, you know, that aren't a good fit. Right. I love that. Well, Ryan, awesome discussion. Really eye-opening too. We hadn't quite had a clear comp type of discussion on the podcast yet, so I'm excited to share bits and pieces of this with our audience. And obviously, if they don't know you, hopefully they'll go follow you, as your content as well on LinkedIn has been great around this space and how it can benefit sales teams. So we appreciate your time and hopping on the podcast. We do.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a ton of fun. So really appreciate it.
Good, good. All right. Well, we'll have to have you on again in the future. But thank you very much. We'll see you later.
Awesome. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Great Day in Sales podcast. Check us out at podcast.alicio.ai or anywhere you stream podcasts.